Well, I want to start off this meditation sermon by something that I don't know if a lot of you are aware of. As you know, I enjoy soccer, and especially when it's World Cup time. But this week has been very turbulent times for the FIFA, the World Soccer Federation, as they held elections, and then the FBI got their hands on some documents where some of the federations had actually been, doing some things that weren't very legal when they were fixing the matches, or when they were putting on tournaments. And these are millions of dollars, and some of the high officials, they actually, the soccer federation, the people were in Switzerland. They were deciding on a new president when the FBI walked in there, and they said, "We need you to come with us. You're going to go to jail because you have been mishandling all the money." And this week, the president of the World Soccer Federation quit because now he is in on the scandal. And so it's nothing big, but I was thinking to myself, boy, this is just in a small size of an incident. This is the leadership that human leadership. And I know that a lot of us, think, well, that couldn't happen in Washington. Well, that couldn't happen at the UN level. Well, that couldn't happen at the General Conference level. The truth is that we are in a world plagued with sin. And we are sinners. And I'm not here to say, not to trust the leaders, not to trust the people that hold a higher position of authority than we do. What I'm saying is that anyone at any time can fall, and that the only one that can be trusted, I'm going to repeat that, the only one that can be trusted is Jesus Christ. The book of Hosea says that we shouldn't trust, not even our family. Beware of the person, says, that's in your house. And I think today, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to have a word of prayer before we start. And I'm going to talk about two leaders in the people of Israel. And I'm going to do it in a way that I've never done it before. I'm going to take three consecutive stories, maybe even four consecutive stories, so that we can show what the Bible says about leadership. And I'm not talking about only our leaders, political or maybe religious leaders, but if you are a parent, you are a leader in your house. If you do any kind of work at church, at Pathfinders, deacon, deaconess, whatever it is, you are a leader at church. Even at work, people look up to you. And the moment people look up to you because you might have more experience or because you might know something that they don't, you are automatically in the position of leadership. So let's have a word of prayer with this in mind, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Father, I want to thank you, because we're about to open the only word that we can trust 100%. And Father, I don't want your congregation right now to hear me. I'm irrelevant at this moment. Father, I want us to hear your voice. Because not only our leadership, but we need you, Lord. We need to be drawn back to you. So, Father, please speak to us at this moment. It's my sincere prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The first king in Israel by the name of Saul. God had appointed Saul, even though God didn't really want a president, a king. in the nation of Israel, but he appointed him because the people really wanted one. But as we know, Saul had big faith problems. And a lot of times I've been very critical of Saul and say, how could Saul do the things that he did? And many times I myself, I don't know if this is the case with you, I find that I in my life also do the things that Saul did. Not only that Saul did, but that many other biblical people did. And so God appointed Saul to be president. Help me out here. God appointed Saul to be king. But Saul wasn't a real good king. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. God gave Saul a task. And he said, Saul, you see those people? They are called the Amalekites. I want you to do something for me. I want you to go to them and I want you to destroy all of them. These were the Amalekites. Destroy them. Destroy men. Destroy women. Destroy children. Destroy animals. All of it. I want it to be gone. Why, you may ask, if you read the book of Exodus chapter 17, you're going to realize that right after the people of Israel, right after they came out of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked them. And miraculously, God saved the Israelites because every time Moses held his hands up, by the way, he had two people helping him hold his hands up, Joshua and the able men were able to defeat the Amalekites. And God had sworn on that day, I will blot out the memory of the Amalekites from the face of the earth. And now, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, God talks to Saul. And I'm just going to read some verses. I'm not going to read the whole verse because we have three more stories. But he told, you're going to go and destroy the Amalekites. And if you read chapter 15, you're going to find out that Saul destroyed. He only did half of what God told him. He only destroyed the things that weren't good. And then Samuel came over to check up if he had done what God had told him to do. And then he realized that Saul had only done half of what God had told him to do. He hadn't completed the task. And he had stayed with the best of the animals, with the fat animals, with the fattened animals. And so Samuel comes to him and says, what is this noise that I hear? And he says, oh, you know what? I couldn't tell the people no. I mean, these people still have good animals. They have good things that we can use. And these animals that I've stayed with, these are the animals that we're going to use to sacrifice. And Samuel looked at him and I imagine, it says that after this, Samuel cried over Saul. But Samuel must have said, oh no, what have you done? Do you know that half obedience is full disobedience? The Bible tells us, and the Bible is very clear, parents, leaders, when with my whole heart, pastors, that God has a standard for His people. And you can say, oh Lord, I can only obey you 90% of the time. I can only obey you 95% of the time. But I just have this thing that I really want to do, especially young people. I really, really, really want to do this. This is the only time I'm going to get to do this. I'm only going to be in high school once. I'm only going to be in college once. You know that half disobedience is full disobedience, or half obedience is full disobedience, I may say. And God said, and this is the key text for this chapter, Samuel said, 1 Samuel 15, 22, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And even though Samuel went back to Saul went back to Samuel and said, "I have transgressed. I have done what it's wrong." Samuel said, "God has taken the kingdom away from you. He would have confirmed your kingship today. But you have done what was wrong. You only did half of what God asked you. You only did 90% of what God asked you." And the thing that God enjoys the most, beloved, is that we obey Him. He says, "I don't care too much about sacrifices. I don't care really if I see you at church every week. I don't care if I see you up here." And this goes to me, preaching. Should I come every week on the Sabbath? Yes, I should. Should there be preaching at church? Yes, there should. Should you be a leader in whatever department? Yes, you should. But God, for God is more valuable our obedience in our personal life. And of course, that will show in our outer life. Are you being totally faithful to God? If you have been convicted that God is showing you the right way, are you being obedient to God today? And so Samuel goes and he says, "So Lord, what are we going to do?" And he cries about it, and God tells him, "Don't cry. I have already somebody else for the kingdom. I want you to go, and I want you to go to the city of Bethlehem. And I want you to go, and you are going to pick a man that's going to be the king." And so Samuel goes and he says, "But Saul's going to kill me if he does." And God says, "Just go and say that you're going to sacrifice." And then here he meets a man by the name of Jesse, and he says, "I am here because I am going to anoint one of your sons to be the next king of Israel." And then the Bible says that this man had eight kids, but seven of them came. And first came the first one. And the Bible says that this man, his name was Eliab, and that he was tall, he was handsome, he was beautiful. And that Samuel said, "This is the one that I want. This is the one that I know God has chosen." And God says, "Samuel, you have thought wrong." And you see here, the prophet Samuel is put at the same, with the same test that the king was put. The king loved the fattened animals. "Well, let's keep these. I want to keep these." And now the prophet is put in the same, in the same predicament, if you will. "Oh, this is a big man. He's muscular. He looks good. He's probably really eloquent." Is the prophet going to anoint this man? And God said, "Don't do it." I'm glad that the prophet was able to hear the voice of God. And see, one of the big things in the book of 1 Samuel is hearing the voice of God. Are you able to discern the voice of God? In your family, in your business, are you able to discern the voice of God? And I'm glad Samuel did. And so God said, and here, 1 Samuel 16:7, the next key verse, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And so Samuel went ahead to the rest of the six to complete the seven. And then he says to Jesse, "The Lord doesn't want me to anoint any of these guys, because God says that he looked at their heart." You know, one of the things that we as Christians, we should not only be able to discern God's voice and actually do what God tells us, but another big, big thing in the book of Samuel is, are we seeing correctly? You know, we can see the appearance. We can see at businesses, you know, that in our minds are going to make us a lot of money. "Oh yes, that's what I'm going to do. Oh yes, I'm going to choose this man, this woman for my life. Oh yes, this is the kind of job that I want in my life." But God says, do not be deceived, because something that looks really good on the outside can be really bad on the inside. And so God said, Samuel said, do you have another boy? And Jesse says, yes, but he's young. Bring him over. And when he saw, he was apparently really good looking, but he was only a lad. He was a boy. What is a boy going to do in the world of adults? And I want to talk to all of the young children. Thank you very much, Joshua, for reading that scripture. Chris, all of the young children, what in the world does a boy do in the world of adults? Well, whenever adults cannot bat, or whenever the adults come to the plate and strike out because they're not able to do or hear God's voice or see like God sees in the heart, then God is going to use young people. And you know what? David was chosen. He was anointed to be the next king. Because God looks at the heart. And so we see that Samuel, by the grace of God, was able to have success where Saul failed. Now let's talk about this whole idea of seeing. And God is going to connect chapters 15, 16, and 17, because the very next chapter, we meet Goliath, the big man. 9 feet and a half tall. And he is taunting the people of Israel. Hey, you Israelites, you say you adore the real God. Well, I want to tell you something. If your God is so good, then let him appoint a man that is able to defeat me on a one-on-one confrontation. And whosoever God, and whosoever person defeats the other, whoever defeats the other, that also then the nation will serve the other. And that means that my God or your God is the most powerful. And this guy is big. He's strong. I mean, he carries a sword that you probably can't even pick up. And it said that the people were afraid. Now think about it. God doesn't look at the outer appearance. God looks at the heart. It said that the people were afraid. And in comes the little kid, the little child that was just anointed. And apparently this kid, this child, this young boy, this youth is able to discern the way God wants us to discern. While everybody else was afraid of this big man because they looked at a big man who was strong, who was going to kill them, who was going to destroy them. This man, this David, he looked at the heart. And he says, and this is the third key text, 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine? And what takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He wasn't afraid because he was able to see the heart of Goliath. Everybody else saw the outside of Goliath, the big, scary, killing machine. And yet this young boy was able to see his heart. And because he was able to see his heart, he was able to say, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? And then Saul calls him and says, so you're going to face him? And then he says, yes, I'm going to face him. Verse 36, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What in the world is this courage? How could you say that in the face of this big giant? Well, you can only say that whenever you look at things the way God sees it. And God saw this man as being, as Goliath, as having a dirty heart, not being not being close to God. And David saw it, and David knew that God had to give him deliverance. How about you? How do you see your problems? Do you see them as unsurmountable? Do you see them as too big? Well, if you are, let me tell you something. You are looking the way man does, because the Bible says that man looks at the outer appearance. And this is not just to look at, you know, the way we, when we look at for boyfriends or girlfriends or wives or husbands. This is talking about problems in life. But God looks at the heart. God looks at the real issue. And see, here we see how chapter 16 is being explained in chapter 17. This whole idea of looking at the heart. And so verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he said not to test them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I want you to notice something before I finish. David wasn't able to fight with a sword. He wasn't able to fight with a shield. And I want you to notice that, because at the end we're going to go to a place where we're going to go to a chapter where David failed, where here he conquered. David said, King, I can't fight with your armor. I'm not used to these things. These things are too heavy for me. And then verse 40 says that he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. And so the story says that this is a very famous story, and I'm going to say it. He defied this big Goliath, this king, this warrior. And Goliath got so mad that said, I'm going to have you, and I'm going to bring your carcass, and I'm going to give it to the birds. And then it said that Goliath was going to go against them, and David took that stone, he put it in the sling. You've seen videos, you've told this story, and he threw that stone. And that angel was directing that stone, and that stone hit Goliath right down the temple. Boom, goes Goliath. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God never looks at the outside appearance. Don't be deceived. God doesn't look at the outside appearance. God looks at the heart, and Goliath's heart was putrid. It was nasty. And so we see that David is able now to defeat Goliath. So lesson number one, are you able to hear God's voice? Are you Saul or are you Samuel? Number two, are you able to see with God's eyes, leaders? Are you like all of the other Israelites who were afraid of the big size of the man? Or are you like David who said, this man stands no chance against God. It don't matter how high he is, how tall he is, how strong he is. He stands no chance because his heart is not with the Lord. And the story goes on to say that at the end, whenever David came back with Saul, people were saying, Saul killed his hundreds, but David killed his thousands. And so it says that Saul became really, really jealous. Don't be surprised that whenever you are close to God, God starts to bless you. But sometimes even in church, people start to get jealous of you. And many times, Satan uses this to get people discouraged. But if you know that you are doing God's will, if you know that you are able to listen to God's voice, that you are able to see the way God sees things, then stay wherever you're at. Stay there. And so Saul started to persecute David. And David started running, and here I come to my last story. 1 Samuel verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. It said that David took off because Saul had already thrown a spear at him. Saul had said, I am going to kill David because people are going to choose him as king. And so David ran away. And so we see 1 Samuel chapter 21 that he came to a city called Nob and to a priest called Ahimelech. And this is where the sanctuary was. And David here, he tells a little lie. And if you read the story, he tells the priest, ask him, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, I'm on an errand from the king. At this time, David was a little bit famous in Israel. I mean, if you defeated Goliath, who wouldn't be famous? And so he tells the priest, I'm on an errand. The king is on a, send me on an errand. But you know something? Oh, by the way, we're really hungry. Can you give us something to eat? He had some men. And the priest said, well, the only food that I have here is the bread, the show bread. And we just switched it out because it was the Sabbath day. So we just switched it out. But still, you're not able to eat this unless you have kept yourself clean. And David said, oh, don't worry about that. My men and I have kept ourselves clean. And so the priest gives them the bread. And then David does something. I don't know if you read this story. But David does something really, really awkward. Verse 8. 1 Samuel 21, verse 8. And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here on hand a what? A spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requires haste. Number one, he lied to the priest. And number two, he asked for something that he didn't need when he defeated Goliath. He asked for a spear and he asked for a sword. So the priest said, verse 9, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah. There it is, wrapped in a cloth behind what? Behind what? Behind an ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other than that one here. It said that the sword was behind the ephod. Now, if you were here for the sanctuary series, you realize that that ephod had the 12 stones, and then it had something called the Urim and the Thummim, and that David was supposed to ask of God what was his will. But David, for one instance, trusted himself. The sword of Goliath was behind the ephod. And I missed that point. And when I went back, it's like if God is saying, okay, David, this is it. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the sword or are you going to choose me? Come on, I dare you, ask me. I know you're afraid. I know that Saul is after you. But remember, you were also probably afraid whenever Goliath was right there in front of you. And I saved you. But now here it is, the ephod. What are you going to do? Are you going to ask what my will is for your life? Or are you going to ask for the sword? And what did David do? He asked for the sword. Something he did not need when he first defeated Goliath. Do you know what happened after that? There was a spy hearing the conversation. Saul came by afterwards, after David had left, and this spy spilled the milk, told Saul that David had been there, and then Saul said, because the priest, you have helped out this fugitive, I want you all to die. And that same spy that spilled the milk, that told on David, now killed all of the priests of God. Why? Because for 1 second, David took his eyes off God. And instead of choosing, God, what should I do? Give me Urim. Give me Thummim. He chose the sword. And later on, David says, it was my fault that these priests died. Because I wasn't able to do something that Samuel was able to do, which is hear God's voice. And I wasn't able to do something that I myself was able to do in front of Goliath, which is see the way God sees. And so I end with this. This is leadership today, beloved. And we are going to be faced in July with a decision at the general conference level. And from now on, you already know about the whole issue with homosexuals. Pastor Neary has preached about this. You know, Ireland was the first country in the world by popular vote that accepted homosexual marriage. And I don't know how much longer we will be able to speak like this from the pulpit without being taken to jail. We live in a world of human leadership. Politically, religious, and what we need to do is we need to pray for our leaders. And I'm going to pray for you because I pray for each and every single family here. Because I know that fathers have a tough job when the children tell them, oh, please, Daddy, just this once. God is going to forgive me if I do this once. Can I please do this? And then the mom or the dad are faced with the decision, am I going to let my child do this? What am I going to do? When they ask you to work on Sabbath, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose the sword, your own intelligence, your own wit? Or are you going to choose the ephod? 2 chapters later, chapter 23, David had the exact same choice again. He went and delivered a certain city from the Philistines, and Saul heard that David was there. And this is our last verse. And Saul heard that he was there. And this time, David asked for the ephod of God. And he said, bring me the ephod. Verse 9. 1 Samuel 23, verse 9. When David knew that Saul spotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? And the Lord of Israel, O Lord of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. This is the kind of leadership that we need. A leadership that is biblically based, that is not willing to bend for anyone. And beloved, we are in a sinful world, but pray for the leaders. Pray, and I'm going to pray for you so that in your family, you do exactly what David said. Bring the ephod here. Let's get together and study the Bible. What is the will of God for us? Do not choose the sword. Do not choose your wit. God has a plan for you. Let's look for His word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much because your word is clear. mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for this pilgrim paradise band, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Father, we want to say like David said, bring that ephod here. Bring it here. We want to know God's will. Bring the Bible here. Let's get together. Let's stand firm. We want to be able to hear God's voice like Samuel did when he picked David. We want to be able to see with your eyes when Samuel picked David and when David defeated Goliath. But we can only do that when we call for that ephod, when we follow the Bible. Oh, Father, there are many people here who are facing challenges of work, of things that happen in their lives. Young people are facing challenges, Lord. Oh, this one time, God, He'll be okay with it. Oh, what is it? Just this one time. Not only the young people, but also the businessmen in the congregation, also the professionals. Every single person here faces that. Will we choose the ephod or will we choose the sword? Oh Lord, we want to be leaders like David, only if we're led by God, not like Saul. We want to choose your word. So Father, as we come into the general conference session, as we see what's happening in the world and see that these big organizations that we thought were righteous and just are falling like UEFA, and maybe even our government, Lord, that we confide so much in, Lord, one day, Father, we know that every single government will fall. Oh, Father, help us to stay close to the Word of God so that no one in this church and this church as a whole can stand in the midst of trouble, held, holding our faith in Jesus Christ and His words. In Christ's name, amen.